You don't know what love means, and it's killing me. Know what love means, and it's killing me. Holding on, spinning out, all my faith turns to doubts, hopes and dreams.
You just heard a snippet of You Don't Know What Love Means by San Antonio, Texas-born rock band Nothing More. The three-time Grammy-nominated group Nothing More released their fifth studio album, Spirits, in October of 2022 via Better Noise Music, an album that is inspired by the philosophy of Alan Watts and Carl Jung. An introspective look at the results of one's psyche after being isolated due to the pandemic. The San Antonio, Texas-born quartet builds unapologetically massive anthems, from catchy hooks with explosive live performances to match, to sold-out crowds wherever they go. Nothing More has become one of the top bands shaping the future of rock, alongside Nine Inch Nails, 21 Pilots, and Bring Me the Horizon. There's a sophistication to Nothing More's live performances that sets them apart. They are like no other. The band's blend of explosive, bombast, and nuanced storytelling resulted in a half dozen top 10 singles at American mainstream rock radio, including their number one hit, Go to War, and the SiriusXM Octane Song of the Decade and active rock chart topper, This Is the Time. Nothing More is bringing that explosive live show to Toronto's Danforth Music Hall on April 5th, a part of their North American Spirit Tour, just one of their four Canadian stops this year. Here to talk about their album and tour is bassist Daniel Oliver of the Grammy-nominated rockers Nothing More. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how about you?
Good, good.
You have a busy schedule right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's busy until it's not, you know.
Well,
hurry up, wait. Little pockets of madness, but yeah, we're making it through.
Well, we are so excited to have you on the show. What a fantastic start for you guys. Performing, you did a 6-day, you did the Shiprocked cruise as well in January.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
Shiprocked was awesome. It was our third time doing it. You know, we didn't, the first year we didn't know what to expect. I know some bands kind of don't like it because you're just stuck on the boat with everyone. But I don't know. It's the only, as far as vacations go and like doing a cruise thing, I've been on a couple cruises just with friends. And it's the only cruise you can go on or vacation really where literally every single person around you is of like mind and common interest. Like you can literally talk to anyone on that boat and kind of become quick friends.
Nice.
Because you know, everyone there's there for rock and roll. So it's a special experience for sure.
And you had some great, great bands that were playing there too. So just an incredible experience for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now you were also in Nashville getting ready, doing the rehearsals and getting ready for your North American tour, which you've started. Tell us about what it's like to be able to prepare for a tour like this one. You have to change a lot of the recorded versions of songs to be able to suit live performances, right?
Correct, correct. Yeah, yeah. So this tour specifically, we took, I think, four more songs off of Spirit and to perform live. And, you know, we kind of start making the songs with all of our normal gear. And then when it goes into album production, usually things change a whole lot. And in general, like, the tones and effects, like, they're just kind of different for album versus live. So yeah, there's definitely, like, I had probably a 10-day period before this tour of just going through songs and, one, like, making sure I have all of the parts memorized, because you kind of forget all the little nuances sometimes, you come up with it on the spot. And then, yeah, getting all the gear prepped. And then in Nashville, usually our crew shows up a day early, sets everything up. And then we only had 3 days this time to get all the, you know, take it from, we know all the music, but really, like, massaging it into a cohesive show. Mm-hmm. And that's where we work on all the big elements, like the Scorpion Tail solo, and get all the, just make sure the lights are dialed in for all the right moments and stuff like that. But it's super exciting, you know, to go from playing in your living room and doing that, and then you show up that first day and everyone's there and everyone's pumped, and, you know, first time playing again with Ben on drums and everything's super loud and full, and, you know, gives me goosebumps all over again. It's really a neat experience.
Well, it's different, obviously, from being in the studio and being able to feed off the energy of mm-hmm. the fans and the crowds. You guys are incredible when it comes to your live shows, and I'm so excited to see this, your fifth studio album, Spirits, being played, and, you know, some of the songs that you guys have added into the set. So really, really great album. Loved it.
Well, thank you.
I love the exploration of the spirits, where you're taking, you know, a man and a woman and what they go through and trials, you know, in life. Tell us a little bit about what mm-hmm. the whole concept was for this album and what you really wanted the fans to get out of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, in general, we're definitely an introspective band and have always just been fascinated with psychology and human behavior, and, you know, a lot of it's just out of our own, like, us wanting to be better. Like, how do we personally get to the next level? Like, how do we fix our own anxiety, kind of thing? And that definitely, obviously, is kind of what this band's about. And, you know, with Spirits, we started like that for sure. It's just kind of, with the title, it's more of like an exploration of the human spirit. And with COVID, you know, COVID definitely the pandemic seeded into our writing a lot, just as we're watching the world go crazy, you know, and kind of watching everyone, you know, we're in a band, we're in chaotic situations all the time. Like, mm-hmm. it's a miracle if everything goes right. But I don't think that's most people's day-to-day life. So, you know, it scared us and it pissed us off. And, you know, seeing what the government did, just seeing how people, the general public that we thought we could rely on, like, seeing their reaction and their level of freak out, it just kind of, I don't know, it made its way into the music for sure. Mm-hmm. If there's like a central theme, we'd want anyone to get out, I guess. I guess the thing we're always preaching is just kind of self-reliance. And, like, if you think things can be better for yourself or for the world or for anyone, like, take it upon yourself to do it. You know, don't just bitch about it and mm-hmm. follow the crowd. So,
well, I think, you know, music is so healing universally, and it's just, it connects mm-hmm. us all together at some, you know, at some point in some way, whether, you know, we're going through good times or bad times, we always gravitate to music, and it's just something that we all lean on. And that's what I loved when I looked at this kind of album, but also when you talk about delivering emotions that you guys are going through, like what you guys are experiencing. And with this latest album, Spirits, I think that really, really shows, because you guys are hard hitting when it comes to your lyrics. And that's what I appreciate, because it's raw, it's real. We all can, we're all thinking and feeling the same thing. And it's,
yeah,
you guys are very impressive, and you guys are really making a mark to what the future of rock music is.
Mm. Well, that means a lot. Thank you so much. I mean, it's definitely a harder road, you know, writing about hard things. And, you know, when it comes to lyrics, those are something that we write together also, and something that as a band, like, we all have to sign off, like, not only on the idea, but just on the specifics of everything, and makes it a harder thing to do. But I think at the end of the day, it's a better songs, you know, just better. We're able to connect with more people because we're harder on it before it gets released. So, but yeah, I appreciate all the kind words. So I do. It makes it all worth it.
Well, and I think that's what, you know, music is supposed to do. But when we can connect with a band like you and the kind of performances that you guys put out there, there isn't any, to me, and I'm from the rock world, so I haven't seen stage performances like you guys. And just the theatrics, all that you put into your sets. And that's got to be pretty hard. You know, do you guys have complications when it comes to, I know all shows do. There's always something that goes wrong, but just because of the sets that you use.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely takes the show to another level for sure. Bringing all that stuff along. And, but yeah, like you're saying, like it's a solid next level of complexity. And like last night, the last show we played, sold out crowd, Tampa, Florida, 2,000 people, like insane place, you know. And literally right before we're flying, I'm getting the call that nothing's coming out of Scorpion Tail.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, I'm on, me and Ben are on stage in front of everyone. I'm like laying on my stomach trying to get under Drumtron, you know, pulling parts out. I can't find anything. But yeah, it sets us up for heartbreak too, because now it's like, well, fuck, like we don't. That's like a part of this climax that we've worked on, and now it's just dead in the water. And it's like, well, go play the show, guys. I'm sorry, I can't do anything right now.
Well, but, it happens, right? Because you guys can be up there too, and your mics may not work or sound, or you know, so many things go wrong to every band that's playing. But yeah, I love your sets. You guys are just so cool. Who creates all of this? Who comes up with the ideas for it?
Yeah, so I do all the metal fabrication for the band. As far as like the full musicality of what you see, like when we released Scorpion Tail, we were doing a cover of Skrillex with it. It's basically, when I was building it, I considered it like the world's first dubstep machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that like Johnny literally is like making digital music with our instruments live, you know, something that a DJ does to recorded audio.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was his idea. He wanted to DJ the band. And he figured out all the technology around it to pipe the vocals and the guitar and the bass through the computer so that with an external MIDI controller, he could do pitch bends and, you know, add all sorts of effects and do like this called stutter editing, kind of chopping and screwing everything that you hear. So he figured that out, and then he had a method to do it. And when I saw the controller he was using, I was like, you know, it sounded so massive, like the idea sounded so cool, but like his performance of it was very just, it looked like he was playing a video game. And so that's where I came in. I was like, let me build you something that you can wrestle with. So it's like the you need to show 10,000 people like that you're moving the audio around, and 10,000 people can't see your thumbs moving, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so fortunate enough. I got into the building stuff literally just for the band. I don't have any formal training or education, but I don't know. I'm lucky that they back me, and I've found a passion in it for sure.
So. Creative force, let me tell you.
It was
awesome. Absolutely love that side. It's so cool. Now, your latest release, Spirits, so let's talk about that one, because it was written mostly during the pandemic. Can you talk about the challenges surrounding the creative process?
Yeah. That one, I mean, we were able to get together. We did write it in a jam room. It definitely set us back. Like, we were scheduled to start right when the pandemic was happening, so airfare, you know, it set us back several months at the onset. And then it continued to set us back, because we usually do, once the songs are at a point, we start working, we'll meet up with producers and songwriters that we know and just kind of do some pre-production, some feedback, you know, making sure the songwriting is watertight. And yeah, nobody wanted to be in a room. and studios weren't booking at the time. When we finally tracked the drums, you know, I think one of the reasons we chose Sonic Ranch, not only because it was in Texas, but they were one of the few studios that would let us hang out without masks on. It's like, man, we're not going to spend 16-hour days with masks on.
No.
Like, when we're the only people in the room, you know. Mm-hmm. But then since we've started touring again, like, now the pandemic issues are just that every single person's out on the road, so there's no buses. It's like a lot of crew people and a lot of bus drivers just didn't come back from the pandemic, so mm-hmm. staffing for these tours is pretty difficult, and of course everyone's doubled their prices, so
yeah, that's the one thing that came out for sure, and we hear that all the time. So things have just changed an awful lot. Just to get out there and play, it's just costing the band so much more than it ever did before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the good news is that people are no longer afraid to stand next to each other, and that above all other things, that would have killed live music most. So, mm-hmm. you know, supply chain issues, whatever. I'll take them. Like, as long as we're all comfortable jamming out again, enjoying the power of music together, then fuck yeah.
Yeah, you cool. Got that right. You got that right. I totally agree with you, because it's just so nice to feel that norm again and not have any kind of, you know, issues when it comes to thinking about anything, right? So, yeah, it's so cool. Yeah. I cannot wait to see you guys playing at the Danforth tomorrow night at the Danforth Music Hall in Toronto. And you've got some more shows, too, that you're coming up in also in April as well. Three other shows that you're doing in Canada, which is so cool.
Yeah. Finally made it back to Canada. Since we played in Canada last, I've actually married a woman from Edmonton. So I get
really?
To go and, for the first time, play for my new family.
Oh, that is so cool. Congratulations. When did you get married?
October 10th of 21. So
okay.
A little over a year ago.
Oh, well, that'll be so fun. Vancouver as well.
Yeah.
And this is so cool. Yeah. They're going to love you in Edmonton. Oh, they will so love you there.
Yeah. Edmonton's a cool place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a city that I'd maybe heard of, you know, as a child. And it's funny now to have like such a strong tie to it. I had a wedding reception there. My in-laws live there. I've been there probably like a dozen times now. So,
I think I've only been there maybe twice. Twice, because I'm usually in Vancouver. I'll scoot out there. Like, Toronto's mainly where I am. But yeah, I've been out there a couple of times. Different experience altogether for music, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting traveling across Canada, like how different it is from east to west. Like, mm-hmm. it's a massively diverse country.
Very, very.
We've done Toronto. We've probably played there, I don't know, 8 times, I would say. Edmonton, I think this is our first time headlining in Vancouver. It's our first time headlining in Edmonton. And we've played all the places. We just haven't headlined in all of them yet. So,
mm-hmm. Well, they are excited. And so is our UK fans on the show. And so we've had...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people so excited about this tour that you guys are going to be doing. Because you got another portion of the tour in the fall, is right, the second part?
Yes. Yeah, we have a second part of the North American, in the fall. So
very cool.
And then we'll be hitting the UK and Europe in between the two legs. So
you guys got a busy year.
We're excited about that too. Finally, we're pumped.
Very cool. Are you guys hitting Germany at all, or?
Yeah, we'll be playing Germany. I'm doing a couple festivals there. I can't remember exactly what festivals offhand. Touring, it's kind of funny. Touring Europe's interesting in the summer because most Europeans travel all summer, so it's kind mm-hmm. of the worst time. But they put all of the big festivals in the summer. So you go over for the festivals, and then they really kind of don't encourage you to do a bunch of like headline touring in the clubs just mm-hmm. because it's not the best time. But by the way, we're going back. We'll be there for about a month. And then I think we'll probably be going back again early next year. So January, February.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Can we ask you a few questions here? Because I wanted to talk about the spirit test and the graphic novel as well, because bringing that to light, tell us a little bit about that and how the fans really take into it.
Yeah. We'll start with the graphic novel. So the graphic novel, we just released it. I haven't talked to a lot of fans about it, but super pumped to have that like in the Spirits universe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirits test is this interesting thing that like Johnny's been talking about for years. And, you know, he's always been real interested in personality tests, like the Myers-Briggs. And the idea was kind of to combine something practical like the Myers-Briggs with something kind of more sexy like the Zodiac, something a little more like mystical and spiritual. He finished it. I don't know. I guess he got it close enough to right before the Spirits tour, right before Spirits release, to where it was this thing he didn't really know what to do with, and then it kind of worked out perfectly. You know, the Spirits album artwork has all these. We're able to incorporate everything from his Spirits test into kind of the Spirits artwork and the graphic novel, and really just kind of build a whole universe around it. So.
I love it. I love it. You guys are so creative. It's insane.
Hey, well, thanks. Yeah. We owe people like the Spirit test. You know, we think it's the more knowledge you can have about yourself and your natural inclinations, it's like, it just helps set you up for happiness, I think. So It's cool to, and there are just lots of people that would probably fall through the cracks of ever really doing those things themselves. So hopefully we can kind of be a liaison help a lot of people out that might not ever go down those avenues on their own. So
absolutely, because you're using your platform, right, to be able to talk about real things that are going on, and that's why you guys connect so well with the fans. That's why I love you guys. You guys just do such a phenomenal job, but you hit hard. Like you don't water it down, and that's what I love.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Talk about You Don't Know What Love Means. So tell us a little bit about creating that one.
Yeah, You Don't Know What Love Means. That's a song we actually started writing for the stories we tell ourselves, and it just didn't quite come together. And we revisited it for Spirits, and the missing pieces just fell right in line. It's basically just about a toxic relationship. And the feeling of, you know, kind of like you're always going the wrong way down a one-way street.
We all do it, don't we?
That's kind of the, yeah. So that's kind of the basis of that jam.
You don't know what love means, and it's killing.
Very cool. Now, talk about your latest release, Spirits, which is the title track for the album. Tell us about that one.
Yeah. Spirits is, you know, it's definitely one of those introspective songs about, I don't know, when you're amidst, like, you're just in the wrong situation, like actively making the wrong decisions, kind of thing, and just kind of the struggle of pulling yourself out of that. You know, we mentioned, and there are a lot of things that can keep you there, whether it's a straight up addiction or anger, jealousy, envy, all those things. But yeah, it's definitely the core of human struggle.
I think you peel back the layers, right? Because there's always a core issue, something that you've grown up with that's led you to where you are, and all the addictions, or whether, like you said, anger or anything else that's an influence to you in that time, that's just a trigger. And that's why, you know,
totally.
I just dove right into this album. So it was just like so cool to me. Absolutely loved
it.
Touching.
And even things like, I was going to say, and even things like, you know, alcoholism, like, that's even like a side effect of a core issue. And, you know, it's just always about getting to the core. So.
They grow.
Now, talk about the social and political issues that you guys use your platform for in using the music to build that awareness and promoting change.
Yeah. You know, the main, I would say, at least for, definitely for me personally, I would say the main thing we focus on beyond political stuff, because politics is just such a weird thing. But I think the thing that we're most proud of is just the mental health campaigns that we've been able to do over the years. Mm-hmm. And with that, this is just for me personally. I think the thing I hope that it does the most is in just remove the stigma from people's heads about reaching out to get help.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I don't know, even for me personally, like we've all been through counseling and stuff like that. And it's so scary to start those things because in essence, you're admitting, I guess it's like your final admission to yourself that there is something wrong. But I don't know. The moment that you say it, the moment, and even by just calling the person, you know, like you're opening up this line of accountability, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that you might not be ready for. But I don't know. It's just not anything to be afraid of. Like, I think even in my healthiest times, I should still see a counselor, you know, because things can always be better. And they're not there. Like, reaching out and getting help isn't about being judged whatsoever. That's the last thing you will find when you do reach out. And yeah,
I think when fans can hear something like that, it makes such a big difference because they're so attached to the social media and there's so much that goes with that. And it doesn't allow you to be able to use tools and skills in everyday life when you're communicating, connecting with people, when you're doing it behind a board and you're doing it behind mm-hmm. a computer screen or on your phones or tablets. It's a level all its own and has created so mm-hmm. much problems when it comes to mental illness and being able to be vulnerable enough to talk about it. And that's why the appreciation for you guys doing that and what you just said there will go such a long way. And you'd be shocked at how much of a difference that'll make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. That's super cool.
Very, very cool.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I appreciate it too, because, you know, we all face anxiety or we all face fears in our lives. And fear, again, comes from something that we've mm-hmm. grown up with, regardless to how that happened or anything else. Those all lead into things. And if you don't have the coping skills and you can't look at it properly, and you don't have mm-hmm. somebody to talk to about why, you know, you've become this person you've become, it spreads out into the rest of your life. And if we just talked about it in the beginning, had that open platform and felt safe enough to do it and being vulnerable and just saying it like it mm-hmm. is, we wouldn't have the problems we have today.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And when it comes to getting, like, you know, counseling and help, I'm just always blown away at how simple the solution always is. Like it is a matter of, most of the time, big issues are a matter of perspective sometimes, or you know, their therapists have these amazing ways to give you, like you mentioned, coping skills, just these little tools to put in your proverbial toolbox that when a situation happens, you think of it like this and magically, yeah, like it orders your brain in the correct way to like process the difficult thing correctly and mm-hmm. and with a lot less pain and anguish and time. Really incredible.
So. You can walk through those difficult situations so much easier, you know, things that would cripple you before. And yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. If you can just say one thing that being on tour,
sure.
I love pranks when it comes to band members and being able to do that to one another. Can you share one with us?
Sure thing. Let me think. This was an end of tour prank that we did to another band. So this was in San Antonio and Atreyu. No, it was Of Mice and Men was playing. They were opening for us. It was the last show of the tour. And I forget what song it was. This song had like this amazing metal breakdown in the middle of it with like tons of double kicks and stuff. Heavy song all throughout. So when they started the song, we dressed two of our crew guys up in inflatable T-Rex costumes. And they're out there just slam dancing, you know, high-fiving the crowd, like wrestling each other. And then when the breakdown came, we all, like, the rest of the band and crew snuck around the stage and got in the photo pit, and we all had about 50 rounds of Nerf darts apiece and Nerf machine guns, and we all had Nerf machine guns. And when the double kick started, we just lit everyone up on stage. It was amazing, just hosing them down.
That's all right.
I think that was one of our better pranks.
Awesome. I know there's probably more, but I'll catch up with you again. So hopefully I'll see you guys. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the show tomorrow. And I'm sure that all the fans here in Canada are appreciating you guys back here again. And we wish you all the success. I know you're in Pennsylvania tonight. You're in Harrisburg, right? And you're playing there and then coming to Toronto.
Yeah, we're on our way north.
Very cool. And then you got the second part of the tour that's coming up in the fall. So congratulations on the album. It's killer. We love it. And I just can't wait to see you guys playing live.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We'll see you on the road.
Absolutely. You take care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, bassist Daniel Oliver, for the Grammy-nominated rock band Nothing More, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Tegan Gaze, Kadu, Madeline Merlot, Tim Hicks, Brian John Harwood, Jay Coote, winner of The Voice, is back with another special song. I've got The Heels, Devin Cooper, David James, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons, Lighthouse. As well as the Rock Icons, the Stampeders are going to be here. I've got Griffin Palmer, Elise Saunders, David Boy Janes, Rock Band, Harmonies, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget, you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.